I've come tonight with a presentation, The Story of the Dish, because if it hadn't been for the dish, I wouldn't be working on the task force. Is the picture up on the screen? Great. So this is a picture of the dish van as it is, or as it was, before the swimming pool works began. So we've been relying on somewhere to go. We used to go in the car park at the back where the council workers were because it was out of the way. Our folk don't want to be out in public. Some of them would come up. Actually, the fellow with his hands on his hips used to come up from the bushes below. He actually was a great help to me when I nervously went on the roster about 10 years ago. Just at the beginning, I just went on the roster. Somebody had a vision at St John's, and she went to the minister and she said, I think we should be doing something about the homeless in Hornsby. Oh no, the folk in Wurrunga, we don't have homeless anywhere around here. Oh yes, she said, we do. Our congregation is quite senior, more senior than me. And this young lady was beautiful, dynamic, and very seen in the congregation. So the minister said, well, I think we ought to pray about it. And that's what we did. We asked the St John's congregation for help, and we prayed about it. And he wisely said, if we get a handful of people, you know, five or six people, that will be enough to start simply. And that's what happened. There were a handful of people, and from that, just 10 years ago, we now have this year, since September last year, that's when our year starts, that's when we started in September, over 1,000 meals we've served. I keep a tally, to at least 100 different people. Some come once or twice as they pass. Others, about half of them are new to us this year. Some have only been a few times, but we have an average of 12. 3 years ago, our cooks were preparing for an average of 6. In the last couple of years, since times have become more difficult, we've doubled in the number that we cater for each week. Sometimes there are 18 people there. Who do we serve? We serve the folk that come up out of the bush. We serve anybody that's passing, those who sleep rough, disabled folk, and people that are on the move. And thanks to generosity of people like yourselves, it's only through donations, only everything that we have at the dish and everything that we give away is from donations from people, all of it. We've got help on the rosters from people from a lot of different churches, Tarramurra, Hornsby and Mount Kohler Uniting Churches, Waitara Adventists, the Waitara Catholic Cathedral, Holy Name Church, Wurrunga, St Patrick's just along the road, isn't it, at Asquith, St Philip's Anglican Thornley, Australian and Chinese Baptist Church, Bible study groups from Hornsby and Thornley Community Baptist Churches. Keen people ring up the council. I got a email today from the secretary at the church, so-and-so telephone number wants to do something for the dish. I'm the person, that's probably my biggest role, answering the telephone, answering the emails, communicating with somebody who wants to do something. They'd go to Judy Hopwood's office. I'm the source. If you Google the dish or homeless in Hornsby, the dish, the emails will come to me. So I look after that. I think our minister calls me the PR person. What do we do? Nutritious meals of hot soup. It started with just hot soup, like they do in the city. But in the city, you have 100 long, you know, so they're just pooling out soup. It was quite obvious from the early days that they wanted more than soup, that they needed more than soup, and that they wanted company. And they now we sit round like that in that photo at the beginning. They sit round and they talk, and it's friendship, family, a sense of belonging. Three rules. We respect privacy. As the Hornsby Homelessness Task Force person, some of the rules for the dish I'm breaking because I'm beginning to ask questions. Now that I'm getting involved in getting homes for the homeless, I need to know something about them. But with the dish, no questions asked. I'll go up and I'll say, I'm Alison, how are you? Somebody doesn't want to give me their name, they don't give me their name. If they do give me the name, I keep tallies. I only go once a month. Everybody only goes about once a month to serve. But I keep a tally of who comes. And, of course, Tom, Dick and Harry is sometimes the same man. Some of them don't want to be named. So how accurate is my tally, I don't know. But certainly the meals that we give out is accurate because there's a tally mark for every person that goes. No alcohol, absolutely no alcohol. And that gentleman who's standing there with his hands on his hips, none of the others wanted to be photographed. He, one night, beef burgundy was on the menu. He said, there's alcohol in that. And I said, it's all right, it's cooked off. We did some research, now no alcohol in anything. Why? Because he was an alcoholic, he could smell. He could smell the alcohol. So no alcohol, no trifle, nothing with alcohol in it is used. And absolutely no proselyting. Who brings up God? They do. They do. We don't have to say anything about God. They know why we're there. They know why we're there. So that's one of our rules. We're there because of what Jesus taught us. We're there because we need to do it and they need us. Where are we now? For Friday's meal. Only for Friday's meal do I organise. Over 28 volunteers preparing food, over 48 people serving. For this year, the last 12 months, we've had year 11 last year they were and they're just about to sit for their HSCs. Year 12, Norman Hurst Boys High. Impressive, the number of people that want to be involved. Social responsibility group at Norman Hurst Boys High said, we want to do something. Oh, no, I said, I'm sorry. We can't possibly have a group of people coming along and looking at these folks as if they're monkeys in a zoo. No, no. Idea. Good Lord. Constant communicator putting ideas in my head. Oh, I said, rang them back. I said, two at a time, with dessert or soup, you could certainly come along. So we've had this fabulous time. They want to come along forever. You know, after the HSC, they tell me, they'll ring up and say they'll come along. But imagine the learning curve that these young men have had in the past 12 months. They, of course, when they turn up, they've got an interest, they're learning about the future, and they'll be in Parliament in 50 years' time, hopefully changing the world. We work with the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, Judy Hopwood, the police, the task force. Whatever we do, it's rewarding. It's fabulous. Ha ha. Why did we do it? Well, Matthew's gospel, as is it Brian brought to us tonight? The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or needing clothes and clothe you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And that's why we're there. We're there because of Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. What's the future? We'll always need more volunteers because people pass on. They get too old. 85-year-old people catering, cooking for 15 people, it's too much. Some of the older women that used to cook for us, one of your neighbours actually, she lived in that Baldwin. She was one of our cooks until she downsized. We supply a three-course meal to 18, up to 18. 2011, the families of year three at Knox Prep School have been cooking Friday's meal. I go up there, or whoever's the shift supervisor, to the school and collects the food that has been prepared by eight little boys and their families, and it comes to school on Friday morning. One of my cooks will heat it. Since September in 2011, the schools of Wurrunga have been serving meals on Tuesdays. Then the Broken Bay Diocese of the Catholic Church thought they wanted to get on this, and so the van went out on Monday evenings. but only for a period of time, because some of our patrons, friends we call them, weren't coming. If you had three course meals in a week, and if you were hungry, you know what you do when you're hungry, you eat more, they were putting on weight. So we had a meeting up there one day, one of the nights, and we decided it was better to give them two nights. The Catholic Cathedral on Wednesdays feeds whoever wants to go. The Salvation Army does a barbecue. You only have to call in at the council or go on the council website to see what's done for people, the homeless people or the needy people in Hornsby. Salvation Army goes down to Brooklyn, Barara. One of the Barara churches comes to the park. Lots of things happen. And so we pulled back, and we now do it Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm involved with Friday Roster. The principal of Pruwheel works with all of the schools, 10 schools. They go on once a term. And the parents, not the children, nobody under year 11 goes. It's too unsuitable. You never know what might happen and who might be there and in what condition. Everything is in God's hands. We have sufficient to carry on, but we are being led by what God puts before us. That's about the year three students, and it's a wonderful teaching thing for the children to learn that there are people in the community that are needy. That's the Tuesday evenings, the special schools, all of them. It was impressive. The people who've got special disabled children were there serving to the homeless. The spirit among the staff and the parents is fabulous. And that's the involvement. Now it's only Tuesday since 2012. And the schools love doing it. St. Leo's, because it's a bigger school, they would like to be on more frequently, and they usually do the whole six-week period in January. Now, that might look a bit difficult for you to see, but it's a couple of men who are very happy. Why are they very happy? Because they've been housed. They probably had been in Matthew Talbot Hostel. They were given a course in hospitality. They've been given a brand new unit, and they're happy because they've been taught how they can earn a living, and they've been given a beautiful new home. Now, we have to come to understand that if one of these fellows is on the streets, it costs, and now the figures are the same. That was the figures in 2010, $30,000 per annum for every homeless person. Why, you say? Because, like you and me, they go to the hospital. But unlike you and me, they're in the public health system. And if they're needing drug and rehabilitation for a six-week period, the amount of money per person, because of all the staff in the hospital, that is why it's so expensive. They've no teeth. Some of them have no teeth, but they're getting refitted with, you know, dentures. So that's public money too. So whether they're on the streets or they're in houses or apartments like that, they are costing the government money, and it's cheap, it's easier and better for them to be housed like that. I'm an ex-maths teacher, so I can't help myself. But the column at the left, yes, I don't want you to read it because you'd be able to see their names. But the graph shows you there are ups and downs. We never know how to predict, but there's an average. And that was last year's average. The average was 10. Now the average is 12. The organisations use those statistics. The Bureau of Census and Statistics came to the Homelessness Task Force and said, we need you to be counters, to work for the census. And I was an area supervisor and did get involved because the homeless are used to me. And therefore, I could tell them, you need to answer this specific question. If you don't answer this specific question, one question, only one question, they had to answer in a certain way. And if they're sleeping on somebody's couch, they're not going to answer it because they think they've got a roof over their head. They had to answer a specific question by saying no to it. And so I went to the cathedral on the Wednesday night, and I told all our people on the Friday night, telling them that they didn't have to fill out the full long form. They could have a shortened form. They could do it at the local council and log in. So we're working with the organisation so that the Bureau of Statistics and Census has a better record of how many are out there. Oh, and 2009, Christmas Day fell on a Friday. Yes, my friend with the hips, the hands on the hips, who taught me how to use a gas machine, because I didn't know how to use a gas machine, he'd set up the gas bottle every night and say, "Can I have a cup of coffee?" the first thing he wanted. And we used to have a gas cylinder and we used to have a stove. Not anymore. We've become streamlined since the schools have been there. And their schools, especially St Leo's, operating with so many students, they're used to smoothing things out. Ours was a little organisation to begin with. Now we're much, much more sleek in how we operate. But we go in the rain. Rain, hail or shine, that fellow used to say. They're here every Friday, no matter what Friday it is. The next year, it was much nicer. It was on Christmas Eve the next year, obviously. The days move on, but Friday stays our day. And the schools do it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. They do it if it's on a Tuesday. And the group was the biggest group. This was the longest night of the year. In June 2011, and I've got the girl in the red, is a prefect from Tarramurra High School. She was doing her Duke of Edinburgh Award, and she was giving out clothes, I think, and there's a great big fruit basket from Knox. It's wonderful. And one night I had, that was my welcoming group. There's always somebody waiting for me at the park, and you'll notice a lady in a wheelchair, sadly. We used to have to provide for her with straw because she had ME or MS and couldn't eat, and her partner or husband was a carer. I saw him today. She, sadly, much younger than all of us, is in a nursing home in Normanhurst. And it's very sad because she's fortunately was put in special housing. But now her condition has deteriorated. But she was there with her carer all the time. Now, there you have the little Knox boys getting very excited about loading food into the van. St Leo's always put the awning up, makes them have a sense of belonging. They love putting the awning up. And the one on the right is, one year I had a call from Uniting Church in Barara who said, "We want to come down and do carols." And so their music machine came down, and the choir from the Uniting Church there sang carols. And one of our fellows, a Down syndrome fellow, tears were running down his face. You know, the Christmas carols, they get very moved. Every week I go, arms around me, "Hello, Mummy." Oh, just like Mummy cooked. You know, the food that we serve is home cooking. Home cooking, and it's what they like. Now, the schools, I said that they streamlined everything, and the general assistant at Pruill came along one night and saw how dishevelled everything was. And in his mind, he organised the interior of the van, and he planned it in his construction room, and that's him at work. And this is it, in operation, was fabulous. Everybody thinks it's marvellous. And look, some of the local natives come and visit us. Was one of the, a couple of the people who have dogs, and I had a real problem when my 85-year-old women were cooking and the food was being given to the dog, and I'm a cat person, but my minister said, "Alison, the dog is that person's best friend. And if the dog isn't fed, it can't look after its owner. And particularly for the women, the dog is their protector." So I don't judge anymore. After all, we shouldn't judge. But the dog frightened the, the brush turkey. And lovely little people at Waitara. These children are now in high school, but for 2 years they were working on how could we help the homeless. So if you know the taxi stand at Hornsby Station, you know the taxi stand on this side? Well, not this side. It's on that side, isn't it? It's between the station and the highway. Bunker Bean. Bunker Bean is the only coffee shop that would listen to these little darlings. They went down to Brooklyn, asked every coffee shop down there, and they went around Westfield. Well, Bunker Bean is the only coffee shop that you can put money in a jar, or you can say, like they do at McDonald's, pay for somebody else. You have a coffee there and drop some money in the jar, and David, who's the manager there, will feed the homeless. We will give out, we have cards in the van, and we give out cards. I go back there and collect more cards, and then I give them out. So they can't keep the cards, they give them in when they go. But that's how you can help, that's how anybody can help, by going to Bunker Bean. And these little children, it was their idea. What did they call it? Sospresso, I think. Yes, Cafe Sospresso. And that's it. That's it. But that doesn't tell you much about the homeless. I don't know how much time I've got, but I have, after I was asked to talk at this historical society, I have prepared a similar sort of thing about the homeless and what's happening. And because since the 26th of June, would you like to see what's happening about the shelter? I'll try and speed through it. I've never tried doing the two together. The two on the one night. No, I don't think that's it. In moving from home, this machine, all these position of these things changed. I'm looking for... don't tell me. Oh, there it is. See? Hornsby and Coringai Women's Shelter. No. Oh, dear. Go back, Women's Shelter. Should be in there. Task force. Would somebody like to ask a question while I'm fiddling with my technical stuff? Because I'm happy to have any questions at all.
I'm still wondering about the homeless people on the street. Does anyone sort of encourage them?
I have walked across Hornsby, you know, the walkway thing, and I've seen a young man with a banjo, and he's thing open, and I thought he looked as if... We must never judge, by the way, anybody with a trolley. I've got to be very careful. You're not going to insult somebody who's, you know, just because he looks or she looks dishevelled. I do have little cards that they designed, because I had a bigger card, like a postcard, advertising, come to Hornsby Park on Friday night. They said, we want them to fit into our wallet. We don't want it that big. And you've got to put free food, you know, so we put free food. But I gave him a card, and there was a fellow who was sleeping in a little sort of cubby house area of Westfield, as you walk around Westfield, the non-entrance corner of Westfield on the highway. And he was in there with his sleeping bag, and I gave him a card. No, he said, no, I don't know whether he was banned from the park, because sadly... Just like a family gathering, you know, they tease one another, and some of the rougher diamonds will tease the Down syndrome people, and we have a number of Down syndrome people. Why do they come, you might ask? And certainly St. Vincent de Paul, a worker, said, Alison, do you know that, you know what sort of people you have along there as well as, you know, the Down syndrome people? We don't judge anybody. We, you know, as Phil Edlin, the principal of Pruill, said, he'll do a bit of disciplining, you know. We have to learn to live together with one another. Stop knocking her around. Don't kick her dog. But sadly, some of the really rough diamonds or the fellows that are on drugs or alcohol do pick on the Down syndrome folk. You know, this is life in a microcosm. And they have AVOs. Some of them have AVOs. Out on them. You know, there's been incidents in Hornsby Mall where the police have had to be called We have the police on site. I'm getting too close to that. And so there are AVOs out on some of them. Some of them have been told not to go to the park on the grounds that they're disturbing the peace with some of the people that we have. Hornsby Homelessness Task Force. It was only through my involvement with the DISH that I became involved with the task force, because Judy Hopwood, oh, and that this probably says this in the next slide, Old Man's Valley, that's where everybody thinks the homeless live. Well, there is a couple that have been living down there for a while, and the council wanted to do something about it. Well, over 6 years ago, and that's all the task force has been doing, Judy Hopwood called a meeting, because what happened in that, it's only for the birds at the moment, but one of the fellows, one of the roughest diamonds, he was having a shower in the fountain, and the CWA people, you know, rang up Judy and said, Judy, you've got to do something about this. And so she rang up people she knew that were doing things. The Hornsby Heights Baptist Church, she rang up me, and she rang up the Salvation Army, St Vincent de Paul, and so she just called this group together, and the Hornsby Homelessness Task Force was formed. We meet every 2 months. Our purpose, we thought what we were doing about 2 years ago, is to advocate for the homeless. We're giving them a voice. And we report back every 2 months to see what we're doing. We have guest speakers, and we want to learn more about what we can do. And we hold information sessions. We had in the mall, stall in the mall, and there's two of our regulars in that particular time. But we have to ask if they want their photo taken, and those two were quite happy to. Toothless Terrors, the pair of them. One of them's gone up north, a walkabout probably, the one with the beard, but that was the first time we had a public display. At Lisgar Gardens, the shelter will have a stall. Their open day. Is there open day in a couple of weeks? I think it is. And it was because of the DISH van that I became involved. That was over 8 years ago. I haven't updated this. The 1,030 was updated today because I got last night's figures in. And no matter what, the van goes out. Homelessness. What is homelessness? A person is homeless if he or she doesn't have access to a safe and secure housing. You can have primary, secondary or tertiary homelessness. Obviously, the rough sleepers are not the majority. Not the majority. They're the ones we see, but they're not the majority. What about the people that live in boarding houses? People that haven't got their own bathroom, that haven't got their own cooking area. The man that lives in the pub, in a pub room. These are forms of homelessness. And that's the primary homeless are the people that are in Old Man's Valley. And yes, one of our regulars, he came up one night, and the fellow that calls me mum, he said, Alison, I've got to speak to you. Serving dinner was the main thing. No, not for him. I've got to speak to you, I've got to speak to you. And it was St Leo's night, and I wasn't in charge. But he said, fellow that lives in the bushes, got a snake in his bag. So I said to the fellow who was the shift supervisor, I'm sorry, Chris, I'm not the supervisor tonight. You are. But that fellow just coming in over there, I believe, has a snake, red-bellied black snake. Well, this fellow has since been in and survived his pet snake's bite. He went to North Shore Hospital. One of the other folks, a lady who comes from ill, but has been housed, but if they're not able to look after themselves in their house, and if there's a nice meal up at the park, we're not going to turn them away. She rang me up. Who gave my number? I haven't got a clue. So-and-so's in North Shore Hospital. I want to visit him because he must be lonely down there. Well, if he usually lives in the bushes with his snakes and his possums, yes, he is lonely. However, she visited him. I get a call from the sister on duty when she fronts up an hour later from Hornsby or Normanhurst to, and yes, it was me. I did authorise that she visited you. Unbelievable. But they treat us like family. We had a call at church, just the beginning of the church service. Fellow in the park, the shout in the fountain. He'd been given 6 months to live. He lived 9 months, but he overdosed. And we got rung at church. They treat us as part of their family. They ring us and tell us if anything's happened. And we're there. We obviously, they look on us as if we are part of them and we'll look after them. Yes, I've had one fellow who said he sleeps under a slippery dip because then the rain doesn't fall on him. Improvised dwellings. Rough sleepers are well known around for the agencies. And clean clothing and hot meals and what we give out at the dish is what they need. And what St Vincent de Paul do and what the Salvation Army does. The Hornsby Police, the superintendent, he was marvellous. They're part of our society. Sadly, he's been moved on. He put on a barbecue in Homeless Persons Week at Brooklyn, which was terrific. You know, the police are on side. The council want us to move them on. Interesting. And I've been asked to move them on. Would you please have a word with those two? My husband says, Alison, it is not your job to move them on. And this was Christmas, that particular, 2011, Barara Uniting Church. There's the Cafe Espresso and new developments. This is what you want to hear. The task force were approached to look into the setting up of a women's shelter. An information evening was held last year on the 5th of December. Do you remember the 5th of December? Power was out between Beecroft and Barara. Power. The council chambers was in darkness. We can't let people in. We can't let them up those stairs. It's going to be dark. So we changed the order of the evening. People were ringing up saying, oh, can't come, because they were caught on a train. Well, we presented the food. Food was to follow the function, but we presented the food because it was still light. God Almighty, the electricity came back on, so we could all go upstairs, thank the Lord. And the most wonderful presentation, the councillor who was present said, we never get this many people to our council meetings. The community was behind the shelter from the start. It was fabulous. And I was turning round the labels for people and writing other names on the back. There were so many people coming in. It was terrific. Steering committee was set up. Fundraising committee was, subcommittee was formed. The mayor of Coringai was the first to put a hand in the pocket, $1,000. That still hasn't got into the bank account, so I get told. But it will. It will. Back to Hornsby Function last Friday night. Properties are being investigated. It's anticipated. We thought at one stage it might be up and running by the end of this month, but no. But it looks like it might be by the end of September. So pray for it. Pray for the right personnel to come forward to answer the advertisements. Pray for the wonderful team spirit that we've had. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful community initiative, but we will need to keep supporting it until the need goes away. Recently we had a morning tea this 26th of June where my life changed amazingly and my husband said, I've never learnt so much in the past 3 weeks about the homeless. Hosted by Housing New South Wales Ride Office, they said, get them to come in. But the folk didn't want to go into an office. So Housing New South Wales came to the park. One of the tables in the van was set up. You know those wooden areas where the roses grow in the park over the wooden... Well, there was a table there with the housing lady behind it and all her papers, and there was a table here where the morning tea was served, thanks to Patterson's Patisserie. And only those... Oh, I was told it wasn't anybody that pops in there who wants to get into better accommodation, because the Salvation Army wanted to send all their clients along. No, I was told by Housing New South Wales it was only people who didn't have a roof over their head. So I said to one woman, no, you can't come. And she thought I meant, you can't come to the dish. Well, I had to clear myself. It's amazing how mixed messages get. No, I said, you're welcome to come to the dish. I've put on my homeless task force hat. You can't come to that meeting because you've got a home. You've got a roof over your head. Four people are now in homes. This was the first one I saw together. This was when the man was shown it. They're all taken to a prospective property and they're asked if they like it. It's done so nicely and so well. I couldn't believe it. Wonderful aspect. And here's a man who's been, I think he told me, out of home for 14 years. He turned up at the morning tea with a bedroll, and a coat. And I gave him a beanie that morning. He's one of our regulars. He is so excited. And I've got the car in my car at the moment. I've been a removalist truck for only a little Mazda 2 for the last 3 weeks. One chair and six cushions in the car at the moment. The second load from the reason I first became in contact with your lovely people that invited me tonight, the lounge of one of the members of my congregations died, and her anything that was left in the home was made available to the shelter. I rang up Judy Hopwood and I said, Judy, the shelter isn't happening, but these four men have got homes, and there's a fridge sitting in Normanhurst Uniting Church's Musical Society storerooms. We have to get it out before the next musical. And there's furniture. So one of the men got the fridge today from this lady's, 94-year-old lady's house, and another man into this home that you can see up there is going her lounge. So she will be delighted. Now, if it isn't enough that you've lived in a car with your dog for 10 years, the first night he's in the home that he says, this is for me, when he saw that's the back door view and the front door view is just exactly the same, but the hot water service exploded. So he said, I'm back in my car tonight. And one of his friends rang up and said, oh, that carpet will be putrid if you leave it down. So in between this time that I popped in with goodies for him, and he said, I can't take any goodies because everything's been taken out. He'd spent the previous day loading everything from his Kennard storeroom. Did I say 14 years or 10 years? I can't remember. I get the 10 and the 14 mixed up. He's had a Kennard storeroom. He said, I had to put it all outside. So he's had to put all the wet stuff outside. He said, I'm going to have to get the storeroom back. But he then is a very intelligent man. Had a book on the steering wheel of his car, bigger than any university book I ever studied. He said, I've worked out that my bathroom is as big as my Kennard storeroom, so I packed everything in the bathroom. So he can't shower because until new carpets, but he ripped out the carpet and we eventually got the water out. This is a studio. One of the men was offered a studio. Most people want to be where they're used to. This gentleman was offered a studio in another area. He said, I'm glad to get out of Hornsby. He'd been squatting in one of the industrial units for years, just nearby. He was so excited, but you can see his furniture. His furniture was in five different people's places, and he's got picnic chairs. Oh, and I think I offered him a bed because there'd been a bed accumulated from Hornsby Uniting Church, put out a call for help for these four people. He said, oh, no. He said, look at it, look at it. It's a mess. Can hardly move in there because he's been calling all his favours back from all of his friends who stored his stuff. And there's a draftsman table. He said, I can't wait to get a job now. He's obviously a technical person. He said, I'm 54. I've got to get employed soon because if I don't get employed soon, I'll never get employed again because of his age. But he said, I've had three showers since I've been here. He said, it's much better than lining up at St. Vincent de Paul, at Vinnie's. He said, you have to be there at 7:30 in the morning to get first in the queue. So that's the latest development. And the shelter property probably will happen in the next few months. which is terribly exciting, very exciting. Any questions?
If there's any young people that are homeless in Hornsby.
Oh, yes, yes. I get very worried when somebody very young comes because it's mainly 30s and 40s. I thought quite a number of people, particularly the Brooklyn people, may have been Vietnam War people, but they're getting younger. And one of the men that was housed that came didn't come to the dish, but one of the four men that was housed is much younger than the general age of the people. And he's been housed out of area, but he'd called in at St Vincent de Paul just fortunately the day before, and the lady there had given him the invitation. And he's in his 30s. Most of the people would be in the 40s. The man whose unit flooded had his 65th birthday on the Monday, and when I showed him that was the day before I went to see his unit, I was given the key. I've been given the key by Housing New South Wales because, it saved one of their employees. My husband says they're saving money, Alison, one of their employees. And I opened the door for him and he said, "This is for me. This is my birthday present." And, you know, he didn't think anywhere would suit he and his dog. He didn't think they'd want his dog. He said, "No, I'm..." He didn't even come to the morning tea. He said, "They're not interested in me." But most of them are older. But we've had a lad who I thought was younger than 20. We've had a woman with two teenage boys. I really felt very sad when a rather large man and large woman and a baby in a stroller turned up one night. And it was after Christmas. And we had Christmas bags for 25 people and only, let's say, 15 turned up, so I've got 10 spare Christmas bags labelled, gentleman or man. And I said, "Oh, well, I'll give each one." And they said, "There's 5 more at home." So you see, people, families are struggling. One of the men who's a constant has flicked the switch on the electricity heating, the hot water heating. He can't afford the bills. People might have a roof over their head, but they can't manage. So more of the people that we feed at the dish are wanting to be saved money. Mm. Mind you, what they spend their money on, I don't know. But let's face it, you all see in the news that the pension isn't much, or the disability pension isn't much, and the rents are going up. So, yes, we do have youngsters, and it worries me. But the major number of people that come to us, the youngsters, they tend to surf, couch surf. You know, they go to different people's homes and they stay as long as the family put up with them. So they're getting food in those homes. It's only when they're desperate. And this young fellow was in the backyard in a tent in one of the other people that sleep in a rather derelict house. Well, people who come to the dish might be squatting in this house, for all I know. We don't ask questions of the dish. We're not meant to ask. No. So, you know, I know where somebody's driven home to. I don't drive them home normally, but other people who are volunteers on the dish sometimes drive people home, and they know where the people live. And this young boy, hardly out of school, I would think, was in a tent in the backyard of one of the others. So there's a homely spirit. They look after one another. And they've all got mobile phones. And when I went to another collective meeting, Telstra give them phone. Oh, no, they don't give them. They give phones to the organisations. St Vincent de Paul, it's good to know this sort of thing is happening. All the Salvation Army, and they have arrangements. Because I often thought, how can they afford? They've all got mobiles. But you see, if you're helpless, you know, and if you can't pay your gas bill, you can ring up. And, oh, that's right, that beautiful unit you saw, lovely, I couldn't believe, beautiful northern aspect, flicked the switch. Yes, we both flicked the switch. He rang me next day, or the woman from housing said, "There's no electricity there." And I thought, am I mad? I'm sure I flicked the switch. And she said, he has to arrange for electricity. And I thought, why didn't you help him? You know, so I thought, well, what do you do? So I rang up AGL and I said, you know, I've been an AGL customer for 50 years and I have gas and electricity. What do you do for a homeless person? How do they pay the connection? Excuse me, madam. Oh, I got fobbed off from overseas to somebody who could make me understand what they were saying, a very person who said, excuse me, madam, would you tell me what the address is, please? So I said what the address was. Madam, Mrs. Stewart or Alison, there is electricity. We do supply electricity to that. That was connected. You will not have to pay a connection fee. And will you please tell them that they can make special arrangements to pay weekly or fortnightly or monthly? They don't have to wait for the three-month period. So they can negotiate. But I told them this. I told Housing New South Wales, you know, this is what you need to be sharing.
And the other thing I was wondering, I don't know whether I misunderstood. I thought the refuge was for abused
people. Oh, the refuge is for abused people. Mm. Someone on our task force said, what about the men? I'm very relieved that the men have been housed, right. The men that were sleeping rough. But the shelter is for women, single women only. If I turn up somewhere with a child, I will most likely be housed because I have a child. But if you're a single woman, there's one chance in two that you will be turned away because you can sleep in your car. Women manage. There are far more single women that are turned away from help. So there's an urgent need for shelters that look after single women, women on their own. And what is the age? There's been research into this. Most of the women on their own are not youngsters. They're people like me who become terminally ill and maybe my partner doesn't want to look after me. Or they've been thrown out of their home. Or their partner or husband has found somebody more beautiful and attractive to stimulate him. And, you know, they're left on their own. If they're my age, they can't go out there and get a job. There is a lot of women over 55 that are on their own who will be housed. Now, they won't be housed for more than 3 months at a time, so that will be room for 50 if there's a 5 or 6 bedroom house, 50 per annum. So the idea is to encourage them. Maybe that espresso coffee shop will give a job to them. Maybe TAFE will run courses for them. There are all sorts of groups that will help the women once they get there. But yes, it is for women. The shelter is for women and for single women. I've talked to them.
Are there any other questions? Anyone else? Yeah, Elsa.
Yes, any women on their own, but not with children. For women on their own. Yes, any woman on her own for any reason whatsoever. And yes, and that's what caused us, because we did research. The task force was asked, would they do it? I contacted the domestic violence people at Hornsby Courts and I got statistics. And yes, there is a need. Yes, it will be women with domestic, fleeing domestic violence. And this is why there has to be no knowledge to anybody where the premises is. Don't bother asking anybody on the committee, because you won't be told. The police will know and the people that need to know will know, but it will be because these women don't want to necessarily have their whereabouts known. And we may get women out of area who want to get away from their area, but there'll be paid staff, and that's why at this stage we're at the stage where there will be people coming for jobs, and the person who gets the job of being, you know, scrutinising or whatever, there's a word for it, but, you know, deciding who's to come. It's a very important role, and let's hope that God will lead us to the right person.
Alison, thank you so much. It's been so interesting. It's a subject I think none of us knew very much about, so thank you very much. If I could accept these
Thank you very
flowers
much.
And
beautiful. Many thanks.
Thank you. Many thanks. Thank you very much.